Lord Jesus, we thank you for such an opportunity to be here receiving training from you. Lord, we thank you. You have manifest your heart desire to us, your universal purpose, the ultimate, your ultimate economy is to gain the New Jerusalem. Again, we pray you will open your heart to us this afternoon. Bring us to the peak of the mountain. Open our eyes. Lord, bring us all into our spirits, that we may see the view of this New Jerusalem, that our whole life may be governed by the vision of this New Jerusalem, to be governed and to be led. Lord, we pray you speak to us again, open our eyes, that we may see your heart desire. And we want to cooperate with you, be open to you, to receive your divine dispensing, and pray the renewing and transformation in us, and making us becoming the New Jerusalem, that we may express you, to gain you for your own glory, that you may be satisfied. We all know that, especially in the Lord's recovery, we have one characteristic, that is, we always talk about God's eternal economy. Because of time, we only can talk about his ultimate completion, his good pleasure on his heart is the New Jerusalem. The Bible, at the ending of the 66 books, it ends in Book of Revelation, right? And the last two chapters ends with New Jerusalem. All the books has the most important part in its last portion. This New Jerusalem, we come to see its application of the interpretation of the New Jerusalem to the seeking believers. We first, in the chapter, first message, we see its meaning, significance. We know the New Jerusalem is the process triune God, and not just God, not just triune God, but it's a God that has gone, triune God has gone through the process. And with the, he selected, elected, sanctified, transformed, conformed the tripart men to be his organic body, to be an organism in this universe. This is the essence of the new and the significance of the new Jerusalem. And this constitution and the end result is just God, the divinity and humanity blending together in humanity. There, God dwells among men. And according to his humanity, we also live in him. He is our dwelling place according to the divinity. But on the humanity side, we are his wife. From the divinity side, he's our husband. There's one saying that this is the eternal couple. This is such a wonderful picture. And in the second message, we talked about how we can enter in. That is through the entrance. It's the pearl gate. And there's two types of the secretion. We know pearl secretes life juice. Of course, this is a sign. Brother has already shared with us in the first chapter. And in the first chapter of Book of Revelation, we see there's many signs. It has spiritual significance because it's spiritual. And therefore, John said in spirit. If it's not in the spirit, John would not have seen it. If it's not in the spirit, we cannot see things in the divine mysterious realm. Why is mysterious? Because it's something we cannot comprehend or grasp with our natural mind. We must have the spirit of wisdom and revelation to have the revelation so we can understand. So in chapter one, we saw that this picture was revealed to John. So John could see it, this divine and mysterious. And this is not something that we can understand. God needs to put a special spirit of revelation in us so we can understand this word. Now, when we say about talk about pearl, it of course is again is a sign. It's through the death and resurrection, through this double secretion, is formed. We know secretion is like dispensing. The life juice or dispensing of Christ, he's terminating death, and he can generate the resurrection power to dispense, transmit into us through death and resurrection. This process can get us enter into New Jerusalem. And this death and resurrection, this matter indeed is the center point of God's economy. The Lord Jesus came to accomplish one thing, that is to go through death and resurrection. In other messages, we have seen about the blending spirit, the blended spirit, God's spirit and our spirit blended. This is not just the Holy Spirit or God's spirit. Then what spirit, what kind of spirit is that? It's an ultimate spirit. It's a compound spirit. A good example is in the book of Exodus, chapter 30, the holy ointment. There are four elements in there. I don't want to get into it, but the main component is death, the effective of death and the power of a resurrection. These elements are added into the spirit of God. That is the pure olive oil. What is that? That is the ointment, holy ointment. And in the tabernacle, the priest and in the tabernacle needs to have the ointment be applied to them. Now in the New Testament, what we need is to receive this ultimate spirit that has the consummated ultimate spirit that has gone through the process. And this spirit dispenses himself into us so we can be sanctified. To be sanctified means that we can have God's nature. And this is typified by the pearl. And this message we come to the topic of its wall and its foundations. We have not heard much messages about the wall of the New Jerusalem. We have heard about street, about the living water, but not so much about the wall. But I hope at the end of today's message, you will have a very deep impression about the wall of the New Jerusalem. Now, when we talk about the wall, we need to see the entire city. In Revelation chapter 21, we see the ultimate conclusion of the New Jerusalem. And John said, "And I see the new heaven and new earth, because the first heaven and the earth have passed away. The Dead Sea is no more. I see the New Jerusalem descending from God, prepared herself ready as the bride, adorned herself, waiting for her husband." And this, it describes the New Jerusalem. And then in chapter 21, verse 11, it says there's a glory of God in the city. And the city has God's glory. And God's radiance, appearance as the jasper, shining jasper. The city is God's expression, manifestation. And there's light shining through the city. And there's precious stone. And the precious stone is a jasper stone. Jasper is blue and is something very precious. We will come to the meaning, significance of this jasper. Okay. In chapter 21, verse 12. And John saw there's a very big, great wall. And John said in verse 14, and there are 12 foundations, 12 layers. And there are 12 names of the 12 apostles. And in verse 18, the wall is made of the jasper. You see, the wall is full of radiance, shining light. It's made with appearance of the jasper. The city is pure gold. and as a shining glass. And in verse 19, it says the foundation is, there are 12 different types of precious stones. And the most color we see is blue, is the green and red. I won't get into the details. And then Revelation chapter 4, verse 3, it talks about the throne. The one sitting on the throne, the appearance of him looks as like the jasper. What does this mean? It means that the one sitting on the throne, he is a lamb, but yet his appearance, his manifestation is like the jasper and the red jasper and the red precious stone. Now we talked about the foundations has 12 colors. It looks like a rainbow. So when you see the throne, the one sitting on the throne, and the wall, the appearance of both are the same. It's a color of jasper. It's a shining of the jasper. And also it's like a rainbow color for the foundation. Now I have gone through these verses. Let's come to the outline. The first, Roman numeral 1, is its wall and its foundation of precious stones. Now, what's the relationship between us and the precious stones? This city is for us to enter in, and the wall is all made of precious stone. So how is it related to us? Let's look at our condition. We, the believers in Christ, were created by God with dust. This is in Genesis. The Lord Jehovah created man with the dust from the ground. So our basic element is just dust. But of course, praise the Lord Jehovah breathed himself into us. So we became the living soul. But basically, we are just dust. So the next point, through our regeneration by the Spirit, we became stones. This is in John. John talked about Peter. Peter's name got changed. His name was no longer Cephas, but Stone, but Peter. So this regenerated person became stone, a living stone. Point C, by our growth in the divine life in Christ as a living stone, the Lord himself is a rejected stone, but yet God selected him. We are transformed into precious stones. We have become stone, but under the transformation and by growing in the divine life, we become living stones, precious stones. The most important point here is about transformation. The hymn we just sang, we sent two hymns. We actually just sang one. Maybe later we should sing the second song, which is more important. It's okay. First Corinthians 3:12a says that we come before him who has been rejected by people, yet he is a precious stone in front of God. We are as living stones. He regenerates us. We become living stone. Why we need to be living stone is so that we can be built into a spiritual temple. On one hand, today, God's home, God's temple is us. But where's the ultimate completion? That is the New Jerusalem. That is God's temple, God's dwelling place. We've been built into a spiritual holy temple, and we are also holy priesthood. And in First Corinthians, Paul said, by the grace of God, I'm as the wise builder, lay down the foundation, And everyone needs to take heed how they build, because besides that which is already laid, that is Jesus Christ, no one else can lay another foundation. In verse 12, if anyone build with gold, precious stone, silver, and here we see something. The New Jerusalem is composed of new precious stones. We need to be transformed to become precious stones, to become a part of the New Jerusalem. Otherwise, we are not in the New Jerusalem. Then we cannot enter in to enjoy the blessing in the New Jerusalem. So we need to grow in life, and we need to be transformed. And this is by the transformation of the spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18 is a very important verse. What does it say? It says, we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting as from a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and be transformed from glory to glory as from the Lord's image, as from his spirit. So here we see that we all come before the Lord. Our veils have been taken away. Our hearts are turned to him. Actually, whenever our hearts turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away, so that we have no veil on our face. We just look at the Lord as if looking into a mirror. And as we stare into the mirror, the Lord reflects himself into us. You see him for a long time, and then you reflect him. People will see you because you reflect him. This talks about us becoming the Lord's testimony. Every day we come before the Lord, we behold him, we reflect him, have fellowship with him, and interact with him. Then his image, his essence, his life, his spirit get dispensed into us, transfused into us. After the transfusion, then we reflect him. And people, when they see us, they see him. In the New Old Testament, there's an example. Paul used him, Moses, as an example. Moses was in the mountain for 40 days. And he was standing before Jehovah. And then what happened? He was staring, looking at Jehovah. Then his face started to shine. Then people saw Moses' face. It was a shining face. Even before he went to before the Israel people, he had to put a veil on his face. Of course, Paul said that glory fades away. But today in the New Testament, we have the Spirit in us. We can see this God. And in this mingled, blended spirit, every day he dispenses his spirit into us, adding to us. He renew us, transform us, and we get reconstituted. Then we reflect him. What we live out, we can live out him in our walks, our behavior, our attitude, as brother has already shared previously, in our daily walk, in our marriage life, at work, in our social life, in all aspects, we can manifest Christ. We can reflect Christ. Actually, we live him out. And this is the testimony. And at the end, and gradually we're renewed, we transformed. And this is what he talks about in point A, by the transformation of the spirit. And the second point, through the renewing of our mind, the main part of our soul. This is Romans 12:2, verse 2. It says that do not be conformed to this age, but what? By the renewing of the spirit, that you may verify, you can see what is the good purpose, good will of the Lord. So when we come to Romans, in previous chapters, in chapter 8, we see the law of the spirit of life releases us. And when we go to 12, we see we need to offer our body up as living sacrifices. and our mind needs to be renewed and be transformed. And I want to spend a little more time on this point. The spirit is in us. We've been regenerated, praise the Lord. But now what God wants is that he may spread through our spirit to our soul. And according to Romans chapter 12, this starts from our mind, the renewing of our mind, the transformation of our mind. And the renewing of our mind is by what? By through what? It's by the word of God. Our mind is our thoughts. Our person is our soul. And our mind leads our person. If our mind gets renewed, what does it mean to repent? Repent means you turn, your mind turns. I was with my back toward him. I disagreed with him. I did not think it was right. Now I think it's right. I did not think it was valuable before. Now I think it's valuable, right? It's a turn of the mind, our thoughts. So the renewing of our mind is a lifelong process. Every day we need our mind to be renewed. So in this renewing, our view, our concepts, our value systems get changed. Things we thought were good before, now we even want to drop it. The renewing of our mind will change our concept, our human, our value system, will change our view toward everything, even our view toward the universe. But where does this happen? It's through the word of God. His God shines us, changes us, reconstitute us. Paul saw this matter. Then he considered. His value changed. He said, what I deemed was good, was beneficial. Now they're even done. He thought those were valuable to him. He considered those as done. Those whom he persecuted before, now he loved them. He used to persecute the Christians, but now he's like someone who was like a criminal being chased by other people. He never regretted. Why? Because he saw the vision, and this vision changed his value system. What I thought was good, now I see them as loss. See, there's a change. And I think a lot of you sitting here, brothers and sisters, you have had similar experience. I'm the same. Once I got saved, there's many things I changed. I had my human goal. I changed. I consecrated myself to the Lord. I thought I wanted to do this and that. Then I said, no, I want to serve the Lord, right? When people saw us, they said, especially my mom, she said, oh, it's enough. It's enough. Maybe you can believe in the Lord after you get retired. Now you should study hard. I was not interested at all. What was that? It's a change of our mind. Our concept got changed. Through what? Through the word of God. Of course, there must be the spirit to be the reality of this, the word of God. So through the word, there's a life, there's a strength, there's power to stretch, supply us. So every day we need to have the renew of the mind, the transformation and the renewing relies on God's word, because God's word opens up his heart desire to us. It opens up the meaning of the universe to us. God's word tells us what's the meaning of our universe, our life. The words tells us what you are living today, but what's the meaning? What's the meaning of your existence? So God's word transforms us, renew us. It's his own expression. And God's word includes the desire, his good pleasure on his heart, his promise to us, his desire, his purpose for us. The more we're filled with the word of God, the more we say amen to his word, our mind get renewed. Our mind get renewed. And our person gets transformed. Why? Because our value changed. What we wanted to do before, we don't want to do anymore. We just follow God. We want to be one with God. We want to obey his word, submit ourselves to him, What is this? This is the renewing and transformation of our mind. Then our will follows. Our emotion follows, right? I want to choose him. Paul's will changed. He was going this way, in a very strong way, but now he insisted to stay on this way. He was not moved by anything difficult. That's difficult. Even his emotion, his affection got changed. He used to like the religious things, but now he loved God. His affection, his emotion changed. He loved the Lord. He loved church. He loved the saints, right? So our mind, emotion, and will all get changed. And this change, this transforming becomes our living, our behavior, our expression. This is the transformation. We've been filled by the Lord, God's life, and we live him out. We have his thoughts. God's mind becomes our mind. His thoughts become our thoughts. We're one with him. We love what he loves. It's one. He loves something, we love that thing. If he doesn't love something, we don't love it. So this is how we live out Christ, because our soul is our expression. Our mind, emotion, will influence our living, our choices, the way we treat people, our attitude. Because our person is a soul. So God not only wants to regenerate us, he wants to gain our soul. So the Bible says that he is the shepherd of our soul, so that our soul can be saved. And not that we saved in our spirit, but our soul needs to be saved. And our soul is our person. And this, our soul needs to become the person inside. The real person in us is Christ. Christ is our person. Our soul is no longer our person. It's only just a vessel to contain God, to express God. But this vessel needs to be transformed, renewed, so we can express him and live him out. So this is point two, through the renewing of our mind, the main part of our soul, into the image of the glory of the firstborn Son of God. That's in point three. This is in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We just read it. It's reflecting, we've been transformed by God, by the Lord's Spirit, from glory to glory. God's glory increasing, continues to increase. Whenever there's the increase, the element add to us, then the glory increases. In the beginning, there might be just a little bit. When we first got saved, we start this transformation process. Our relatives, our friends, even our parents, they may say, oh, you're different now. You're different from before. This is an expression of God. But this is advancing. The more we get renewed, the more we get filled inside, these elements added into us, we will live him out more, and there will be more glory. So that's what it means, from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, our way before us, our path before us is glorious. There's more glory get dispensed into us, that we can live him out more. This renewing and transformation is a lifelong process. And every day we need to endeavor to pursue it, to gain Christ. Just as we heard in message one, brother shared with us that we need to be like Paul, to endeavor, to struggle. Not that we have already gained, but we need to forget what's behind, but stretch forward to what's before us, so we may gain this unlimited, all-inclusive, rich Christ. We want to enjoy him till eternity. When we get into New Jerusalem, we will even gain Christ more. Why? Because this Christ is all-inclusive. It's all-inclusive and unlimited. His riches keeps unfolding to us, dispensing to us to become our enjoyment. Hallelujah. From glory to glory. And then the point four, all the stones of its wall and the first layer of its foundation are jasper. And the jasper stone signifies the appearance of God, indicating that the entire city is in the appearance of God in his glory. This is very clear in these verses. This is the view of the New Jerusalem. And today we want to enter into this. In the past summer training, we saw that New Jerusalem is objectively somewhere, and then one day, all of a sudden, we enter in. No. What is New Jerusalem? It's that we are made. We're building to the New Jerusalem. If you're not part of New Jerusalem, you cannot enter in. We need to be built into the New Jerusalem. Then automatically, spontaneously, we are in the New Jerusalem. Saints, we need to be clear about this point. Many Christians today, they say, oh, I'm suffering today. Let me be patient. One day I live enough of this life, and that the Lord will receive me and enter into the heaven. And even sometimes I heard some brothers and sisters, they have some difficulties in their environment. They said, brother, I pray to the Lord, Lord, take me. I was thinking, you better not. It's better that the Lord doesn't take you, because you will not have the opportunity anymore. You need to grasp on the opportunity. Today, the Lord is your supply. His intention is not for us to suffer, but his intention is for us to get his eternal glory. He dispensed himself into us because we are a difficult case. We're very peculiar. Everyone is peculiar. Don't think that only other people are peculiar. Everyone is this way, but the Lord is very patient. In the Old Testament, there's a good example. That's Jacob. Is Jacob peculiar? Someone told me once that God dealt with him. It's like a guandao. It's like a knife dealing with something. You are crooked, and that the Lord has to treat to deal with you, to bring you back. And so today there are many environments that we need to go through, but God loves us. God loves us. Even he gives us his only begotten son to us. What else he doesn't give us? Right? God, in his permission, with his permission, he gives us some circumstances with one purpose, that he gives himself more to us through this environment. One time, Brother Nee's mother wrote a letter to Brother Nee and asking Brother Nee, we love the Lord so much. Why we have to suffer so many things? It seems like we suffer more than other people. And then this brother replied. Brother Nee replied, he said, because the Lord Jesus loves us more. Our brother has a different view. We have many complaints. Why this way? Why that? It's not fair. How about this one? How about him? I'm like this. How about him? The Lord said, you don't have to worry about him. I'll take care of him. You follow me. But we need to know what God has allotted to us is for us to gain him more. So we can gain the eternal glory more. He can dispense more of himself into us. What is this? If you see this, you have this revelation. This is the renewing and transforming of your mind. Other people may be evaluating, thinking that, oh, this is not fair. But you think that God loves you more. This is different. This is your mind being renewed, right? This changed our entire attitude, our whole living. So we need to know God only has one goal, one purpose. That is, he wants to make us to be New Jerusalem. But what's the process? Process is through his dispensing, divine dispensing, so that we can be renewed and transformed. So we who are dust can become precious stones. And the precious stone is blemish, shining. It's transparent, no impurities. Today, maybe we have a little bit shining, a little bit appearance of the green color, the life color, but there are many impurities. And the jeweler selling person, I don't know about the jewels, but I heard only jewels, only precious stones that has no impurities are the most precious. So the Lord wants to make us to be such. On one hand, he's green, but he's transparent. No impurities, no mixtures, but there's light. The stone itself doesn't shine, but yet it's shining. That's because triune God is a light source. This is a very wonderful, marvelous precious stone, right? Again, this is in the mysterious realm. Don't use your natural mind. Praise the Lord. Now let's continue. I want to read point four again. There's 12 layers to the foundations. And the jasper signifies the appearance of God, indicating that the entire city is in the appearance of God in its glory. The one city on the throne also looks like jasper. The wall has one appearance, that is to express God. While the transformation work of the Spirit is going on in the divine life, we, the transformed precious stones, are being built up together to be one complete wall with its foundations. And here it says that not only we need to be transformed, transformation seems to be more individual, but what is the wall? The wall is something that gets built up. So the work of the transformation in this process, we, the transformed precious stones, are being built up together to be one complete wall with its foundation. Now, to be in the building, the stones cannot keep its integrity, its wholeness. The precious stones needs to get cut. So the stones, the precious stones can come together, put together. I'm sure the precious stones all connected together, not just a pile of precious stones there. So the quality needs to be precious, and the stones get built up together to be the testimony. We will look into the function of the wall later. So here, we need to go further in terms of transformation and renewing. On one hand, for us individually to go through renew and the transformation process is relatively easy. But to build up corporately, it's more difficult. Why? Because we need to get cut. We need to lose our freedom. But we have to advance. This again needs our mind to be renewed and transformed, because we always think, I want to do it this way. I want to be so and so, this and that. But what God wants is a dwelling place. It's a testimony. It has to have a wall. And this means that all the precious stones need to come together and be built together. And for this building means we need to come together, drop ourselves. This is one step forward from transformation and renewing. As an individual Christian, if he may not be able to be built up, then the Christian cannot be part of the city, because everything in the city is built up. And there's nowhere mentioned in the Bible that those are not built up, are put into the storage room. No, but those precious stones are not built up, means those stones have not yet reached a complete transformation and renewing, right? We need to be completely renewed and transformed to become the ultimate expression of God's appearance and be his testimony. And not only we become the precious stones, but it's built up. And this is very, very important. Most Christians, and even some spiritual ones, they know they need to be sanctified, be holy, but no one ever talks about building. But praise the Lord. By the Lord's servant in the Lord's recovery, this matter of build up has been revealed and been emphasized, stressed. Of course, living the New Jerusalem is something living, and this living stones means it's living. It's become difficult. Why? Because it's living. We are living, but yet we can be built together to become a spiritual temple, to become God's glorious expression. Let's continue. The function of its wall and its foundation. One, to separate, to sanctify the city unto God from all things other than God, thus making the city the holy city. And here we see the functions. We know the function of a wall typically is for separation and protection. Whether if you're in the inside versus outside, it's different. A brother talked about the gate. If there's no wall, you don't need a gate. Anybody can come in. Why do I need a gate? But because there's a wall, so you need a gate. Why is the need for the wall? Because that means not anyone, anything can come in freely. Certain conditions need to be met. Are you qualified to come in? If not, you get blocked outside. So there's a separation. This is very important. So we must have a wall. So we must have a gate. In other words, if you want to enter into New Jerusalem, not everybody can come in. You have to go through the gate. What does that mean? The wall is like a testimony. You have to go through the death and resurrection of Christ. You must go through this double life secretion, then you can become the pearl to enter in. There is a separation. So that's why the city is the holy city. Anything common cannot come in. Anything common are kept outside of the wall, outside of the city. If there's no wall, they can still come in, but because of the wall, God's testimony is protected and got separated. In the Old Testament, it was the summer or the winter training last year, and we had a crystallization study of the Nehemiah, Ezra, and Esther. In the message 11, we talked about the matter of the wall. As the ministry of the Ezra versus Nehemiah's ministry. And we especially saw that Nehemiah, he was the wall builder. Why? For separation, for protection, for expression. And in the New Old Testament, why they were building the temple. If you build a temple without a wall, all the Gentile nations can come attack. They come to destroy the testimony. So Nehemiah, day and night, they worked very hard to build the wall to a point that they held, one hand held the weapon, the other hand they built. They were under guard. They were in fighting mode to build up the wall. Why? to have a separation, to have protection. So the enemies cannot come to destroy the testimony of God. So that's the type, the type in the Old Testament. We see how important wall is. The wall is very important. We need the separation. Again, this is related to our renewing and transforming. Anything that's not sanctified or holy need to get blacked out. Now, in our daily life, brothers and sisters, do we have a separation from the world? Are we separated in our daily living? Do we have something that protects God's testimony? This is our application. God's wall has the function that is to protect and manifest and express in our daily life. Our life is for the New Jerusalem. And we need to become the wall full of life. It's jasper, full of God's life and expression. And it's transparent, no impurities. Then we can protect God's testimony. So in our daily life, we also need to have a separation. Don't be the same as other people, especially in today's society. Romans 12, verse 12 says, do not be conformed to this age. Today's age, in all aspects, is to draw us, to capture us, to snare us. Whatever you like, it tries to offer to you. It's like all-inclusive department store. It has everything you want. It's there to attract you. You want high, low, this and that. In short, it's trying to distract you from God himself. So we need to be sanctified. Again, this needs us to be renewed and be transformed. To protect the interests of the riches of God's divinity on the earth and the attainments of his consummation. This is point two. Small point two. This is very much related to us building the temple, the wall. We need to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. God's nature, the salvation of Christ, and the transformation of the spirit. This is the work of the divine Trinity. Through the dispensing of the divine Trinity can help to build something in us to pass through the fire. Otherwise, everything will be gone after the burning of the fire. So we see the meaning, the significance of the wall is very, very important. I want to say a little bit more about this. How can we have this renewing and the transforming? One, it's in our mind. But most important, how do we get our mind renewed? Again, I want to say it again. It's based on our two spirits, the mingled spirit. There's a divine dispensing there, but in practicality, how? The best way is by the word of God. The Lord's word is a spirit. The Lord's word, the essence is the spirit. The spirit is embodied in the word. Whenever you want to touch the spirit, the easiest way, of course, we can call on the name of the Lord. We can also pray, read the word of the Lord, the God's word. The word is the spirit and it's life. And the elements, the essence get transfused into us. That meets all our environments, circumstances, situation. When you're down, you're not happy, you pray, read. Lord, you said, rejoice always. Amen. Lord, I want to rejoice. Lord Jesus, this is your commitment. Whenever you're down, you just pray this verse. I promise you, in 1 minute, you'll be out of your depression. Are you disappointed? The Lord is our eternal hope. So these words, once you touch these words with your spirit, right away, the words become the spirit to supply you, to strengthen you. But this strengthening and supplying is a deep transfusion of this divine element into us. And it helps you to go pass through some difficulties, but also there's some more growth in you. This is very, very important. When we pray, read the word, this word becomes living. This living word gives faith to us. We see what we cannot see. Like Hebrew says, in faith, they see something. They look forward to the city that has its foundation. So they look down on other things. You take the worldly things away, I don't want them. I want that city with the foundation. So we need to keep the word of the Lord in us richly. So anytime it becomes our timely supply. And this supply is not just to help us to go pass through some difficulties, but in circumstances, we can express God to become the Lord's present testimonies. I believe when Paul was in the prison, when he was singing the hymns, people heard him. I believe there must be some word of the Lord in the hymns. So even the jailers was hearing, and they heard something in the prison. And so the Caesar's household got saved, right? That because of Paul's testimony that got lived out. And the living word became the supply in them. And it became their expression. And what they said was the word of God. So this is something even today we can practice and apply. And this wall is a jasper. It's a testimony to express God through the redeemed, renewed, the elect. And next one, the colors, Roman numeral 2, the colors of the 12 layers of his foundation. We know in Genesis there is the rainbow. So what is rainbow? Rainbow typifies God's faithfulness. Rainbow is God's guarantee. The rainbow is God's guarantee in his unfailing faithfulness that the earth will never again be destroyed by the flood of water. Point 2. But the fire as a destructive element will be used by God to punish all his enemies for eternity. In Sodom and Gomorrah, we saw the two cities got punished by the fire. But when after the water, there's no more judgment used by the water. But yet, all the negative, passive things will be judged by fire. This is point B. So the fire as a destructive element will be used by God to punish all his enemies for eternity. This indicates that of the two destructive elements, water and fire, used by God to destroy all his opposers, one of them, that is fire, will be used by God for his purpose for eternity, and the other, that is water, will be prohibited from its destructive function by the guarantee of God's unfailing faithfulness, signified by the colors of its foundation. Water eternity will be used by God only as an element of life supply. I have a little bit of time left. I want to stress again on the side about the application, because we want to particularly pay attention to application. I already talked about the wall. We want to become the wall, to become the jasper. We must have the renewing and transforming of our life. We were filled with different things, but at the end, we all have just one appearance, this green. What's your color? Are you yellow? Black? What does it mean? It means that in the Lord, there's only one expression. So all our differences need to get eliminated by the renewing and transformation. We all have our preferences, our temper, disposition, even our races, different cultures. Chinese has Chinese culture, but how can we be built up with the Spanish people? We just need to be renewed and be transformed by his death and resurrection. We get transformed. Our natural preferences get eliminated, removed, so we can be built up together. So this wall is not just the element, but it's the building. And this becomes a separation. We have a separated life, separating life, and we protect the testimony. And by this, we can express God's glory. So in the church life, we need to have all the self-peculiarities be removed, eliminated. Paul said in the body of Christ, there's no Greek, there's no Jews, there's no low, there's no high, there's no civilized, uncivilized, but Christ is all and in all. So we need to be purified to become transparent, be a transparent jasper. This is marvelous. You may say something that has deep color, but it's not transparent. But something transparent, but doesn't have the deep color. And have you seen transparent gold? Let me tell you. One time, a brother, he studies the materials in Berkeley. He told me that, you know, gold, when it reaches the purest state, it becomes transparent. In any case, God's word is solid. It's a firm. On one hand, it's deep. Jasper is deep green, but yet it's transparent. No pure impurities. So we need to be open to the Lord. Lord, renew and transform me every day by your word, by the spirit in the word. Transform me, renew me. As from the Spirit of the Lord, that we may be one with you. And this transformation is for my whole lifelong process. It's not instantaneous, but it's every day, bit by bit, from small things. We just open to the Lord. As brother said, sometimes we want to say something, then we stop. Sometimes we just need to turn quicker. And especially when there is an argument between husband and wife, maybe they don't talk to each other for 3 days. You need to shorten that to 2 days, from 2 days to 1 hour, to 5 minutes. This is growth. It's not big. It's not something big, but you just need to have growth. You need growth. This is day by day. So, saints, we all need to be encouraged. Just from the small things, we need to exercise and practice that the Lord has a position, has a way that he can touch us, that his elements in us has a free course, that in small things, especially in small things, we need to tell the Lord, amen. We need to stop. Even if we don't want to stop, if we need to apologize, open our mouths to apologize, we just open our mouths. So let's shorten the time to 2 days, right? This is very practical. Not just not not just for couples, but it's very practical to everything. And the brother talked about us looking at the apps, the cell phone. There's all kinds of apps coming up, all kinds of temptations. It's filled with temptations for you to point, to touch the screen. Don't touch the screen. Come back quickly. You don't say that, oh, I'm already gone to that site. Just come back. This is everyday small things. This is the growth. This is the process of renewing and transformation. And there's a very good way. You just need a companion to exercise with you. But if it's something more private, it's not easy to exercise with other people, but try, especially when you try to, when you, on the matter of prayer reading, it's much easier to steadfastly practicing it with someone doing it with you. And when two are together, when one falls, someone else can lift that person up. We need to have such mutual help. We all need to be built together so we can become this wall. I want to say one more thing, that is we need to learn to speak the word of God. I already mentioned before that the Lord's word can renew us. There's another type of word, that's the word of revelation. It's in the New Old Testament, the returned Israelites, they didn't know how to say the Jewish words. The language of Judah, it represents some kind of thinking, thoughts. If you have the word, the language, you have that thought. Like Brother Ni, he invented many words. Why? Because he has new view. He has seen new revelations. Why he talked about the process, the ultimate consummation. God is not that simple. You may say, you may say he's just internal, but it's not that simple. But this, the word became flesh and the last Adam became the life-giving spirit. All these are God's words, but you put them together, you may say, then you realize, oh, this God has gone through the process. And then all of a sudden, we all realize that this is not just a language. This language brings us into a renewed thinking. And this thinking will renew our view, will change our view. So we need to use a new language and apply this language. And we can apply the divine truth expressed by the language in our daily life. This will help us to grow faster. Not just speaking this type of language, but we need to apply this kind of language in our daily life. We have limited time now. I just want to add one more point. In Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 10, in the Old Testament, we know it's all very, we know a Shulamite is someone who seek after the Lord. There's a process of how she was looking, seeking after the Lord. She represents us who's seeking the Lord, going through the process. There's the transformation of her life, advancing of her life. And then in the chapter 8, verse 10, it says, I am a wall. And you can say, she said, I am a wall. And my breasts are like towers. And she says, and I was in his eyes like one who has found peace. The breasts represents faith and love. It also is related to the maturity of love. A girl when she's mature, then she has rest. And this means that this Shulamite, her love and her faith to the Lord has become mature. And she said, in his eyes, like one who has found peace. Where does peace come from? Why she has peace? Because she was sanctified. For a city to be in peace means the city has a wall, because it's been protected. For when we have peace, we are protected. And 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says that, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly. And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept at the coming of our Lord Jesus without blemish, complete. And in verse 24 says, he who called you is faithful. He will complete this. He will do this. The God of peace, he's faithful. Just like this foundation. He is God of faith. He's faithful. Just like the foundation, it's like a rainbow. He will accomplish this. May the God of peace sanctify us wholly and build us into the wall of the New Jerusalem. And he's faithful. His foundation is faithful. He will complete this. He will do it. May he bless us. May he will complete this. And Shulamite said, I am a wall. And she was waiting in the vine, in the vineyard. He became a co-worker with the Lord, taking care of the vineyard. Make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. We all are lovers of Christ. May we have such a prayer. Lord, I am a wall. Renew me, transform me, that I can be a built-up wall with your expression. Become a protection, separation, and your expression. And this needs us to enjoy him, eat him, renewed, transformed. Then there's peace that we may love him, trust him, enjoy him, till our Lord comes back. Praise the Lord. I'll stop here.